The following is an interview with Mr. Henry Lozano that took place July 8, 1973. So in this interview, Mr. Lozano will talk about his childhood and a little of everything else. Mr. Lozano, could you tell me where you were born and raised and a little bit of your childhood?
I was born in San Antonio until I was about 4 years old. And then we moved to Castroville, stayed about 6 years old. Stayed about 6 years. And then I went to school.
Okay, could you tell me something, a little bit of how school was then, in those days?
I went to school and I didn't learn much because they all fight me. I was the only Mexican in that school and they all were Germans. And if I didn't want to fight, they'd push me on top of another one and they'd ask sure no fight. And then, of course, I had to run. There's 10 or 12 on me. Then finally I got so that I picked up a rock and I hit one. And he started crying, and I run home and told my daddy. And my daddy said, "You wouldn't hit him with a rock." I said, "Well, it's about six or seven after me." But since that time, every time I catch one by himself, he'd cross his arms and pat me. Like he was afraid of me. But with a whole bunch, they just whipped the hell out of me if I didn't run.
How were the teachers?
And my seat was an old chair on the back, and my books on the floor. That's all.
How were the working conditions then? When you had to work, how were they?
We didn't work for nobody. We were farm. We farmed for work our own self. We was farm. And from there on, I made my first communion, and I quit the school. That other school, I went to public school. It was a little better. I was an old man than the teacher, and he liked me pretty good because everything he asked me, I would answer. I read whatever he figured out, whatever he put on the blackboard, I could figure out. And one day that school superintendent, he come over to visit the school and said, "Which is your best boy?" And he pointed at me. But you know, that other first school that I went to, it was too bad. I don't know, maybe they didn't like Mexicans or something. And then we moved back to San Antonio, and I went to school here in San Antonio. Was a little better. Finally, I just got big, and I was ashamed to go to school, and I quit ninth.
How old were you when you quit school?
Ninth grade.
Ninth grade.
I was about 16 or 17 years old. But I was learning pretty good. And the teacher liked me good, too. She'd keep me after school and show me my lessons, you know. I'd pick it up. But I had to get up and go to work. Couldn't finish it. Then I went to the farm. And when it rained, I'd go catch snakes. Sell chickens, sell snakes. My daddy didn't know it, that I was catching snakes. And he got short, he came to pay the cotton choppers and didn't have enough money. He brought enough money. So I told him, "I have plenty of money." He didn't want to listen to me, didn't believe it. And so I asked him three or four times, I said, "Well, go ahead and get it." But he paid the cotton, I didn't know how much it was. He paid the cotton choppers, he had money left, but never gave it back to me. So Monday he asked me, "Where did I get that money?" I told him what I did. And he said, what do you want that money for? I want to buy me a 22. He called my brother, Joe, said, Joe, go get Henry a 22. I don't know what he paid. I don't know how much he paid for it. But they got me 22 and two boxes of shell. And I went out hunting, and I seen a bunch of quail. And I shot the two boxes to one quail. Never hit it. Didn't know how the first time I ever had a rifle on my hand. Well, that's about all.
Mr. Lozano, could you tell me something about the telephones, how they were in those days, the trains, the transportation, how did you get around?
Well, buggy and wagon, mule, horseback.
Was it hard then to get around?
No, we'd get on a horse, you go just like you go on the cars now. That was the fastest thing, was a horse and a saddle or a buggy.
How about the telephones? And
we didn't have no telephone. I couldn't tell you nothing about telephone in Castroville. But in San Antonio, we had telephone like now, but different apparatus. Some of them, yeah, they just hold it here, you know, lift it up. First time I started to ride horseback, I was trotting, and finally I thought I can go a little faster, and horse started loping, and down I went. And then my older brother, when he got the horse, rode it close by me, and he said, just don't catch a hold of the mane, just stand up straight, sit on straight on. If you catch a hold, you'll fall down. And I learned that way. But I never was no heartbreak. I could run and rope, all of that, after I got big enough, about 22, 23 years old. So I thought I could ride a bronco. I got on a bronco, and he throwed me up and hit me with a knee around the back of my neck. I come near falling in a old well that was there. And of course, after we got, my daddy was farming. We ate, pick cotton, break corn, take cotton to the gin, help my daddy all around, take care of the chickens, take care of the animals, cows, horses, mules. And one donkey, there was the first one I rode.
Was there very many blacks over here then?
And what?
Very many Negroes then? Back over here?
There was Negroes, just about one family. That's all. One or two families, I can't remember.
Where was that at?
Castroville.
Did people get along with them?
No, neither could go in a saloon. I never seen one in a saloon. I passed by there when I go to school, and a bunch of Germans there drinking and hollering, but no Negroes. One Mexican fellow that worked for my daddy, he said, Mr. Lozano, can you lend me 50 cents? My daddy said, yeah. And he gave him 50 cents and he went to the saloon to drink. And they got him and kicked him out and made a blue eye on him. He come back to the house and my daddy was outside of us. What's the matter? He said, they whipped me over there in the saloon. I said, well, that's why you shouldn't go in there. You know they don't like Mexicans.
Well, how did y'all do the drink? I mean, where did y'all go and buy the beer?
There's some of them, but there wasn't many Mexicans in there.
Yeah.
No. There wasn't. My daddy did. I'd go to the saloon on the window with a little can, give me 5 cents beer. They'd give me a half a can, 2-3 glasses for 5 cents. They sell it by the pound, I think. But we lived right in town then.
How long did y'all live here?
Huh?
How long did y'all live in Chesterfield?
About 6 years. Didn't come back to San Antonio.
Then you came back over here to Corpus?
Yeah, I was about 30 years old when I come here to Corpus. Got tangled up and got married.
What year was that, around what, 1930?
And I come here in 1925, 29th date of November, 4 o'clock in the morning. Single. And I got married here, and here I am. Got 23 grandchildren and 7 my own.
Do you think there's any difference now today and back then?
Oh yes, it's a little different now. Of course, it don't show like it did a while back. It don't show now, it's a little different. But discrimination, it's some yet. They don't show very much, they just keep that in them. You can't make nobody like another one. You can't make them.
Do you remember anything about the Texas Rangers then?
No.
How they were? That was too far back?
Texas Rangers, I don't know nothing about that.
How about the law? How were they?
The law, I never, couldn't tell you because I've never been in law. I've never been drunk, I've never been in no jail. None of my whole 9 brothers, they've never been jailed up for nothing, for drunk or fighting.
Did you ever see any people, you know, Mexicans mistreated or blacks or whites by the law? Did you ever see the law, you know, getting after a white or a black? Or a Mexican, you know, did they treat him good or right? Do you remember that?
No. But Mexicans in Negro, it was all the same. It was, had nothing to do with the whites. You get a Mexican. Put a good Mexican, yeah. You get out in the pasture, you take them out there to grub. Yeah, $6 an acre. Take about a week and a half. Get an acre, according to the brush. Then they hire some Mexicans, but they get them, I don't know from where, not from Castro, they come from other towns. From San Antonio here, they go to pick cotton. They get to pick cotton, come back. And here in San Antonio, there's several doctors there. They do what they have to do. Seems they like it pretty good, but because they was getting paid for it. I had a sister pretty sick. The doctor said they didn't have no cure. She had TB. Good doctors in San Antonio.
What happened?
Then I changed doctors. I changed 3 or 4 times, but the last one was a Mexican doctor.
What was his name?
He came and looked at her. He couldn't hear her very well. And I said, "Doctor, that's all she got, TB?" He said, "Who said so?" The doctor that came and seen her last time, you tell him that he's got more TB than that girl has. What's wrong with her? It's 7 pains. It's killing her. Will you live? If she live for in the morning, she'll make it. Give her some medicine. Next day in the morning, that big eye, you know, he's looking at me. You know, I feel good. I feel pretty good. I said, "Don't move. Stay there. Doctor, I'll call the doctor." So she'll make it. And then, that was the second one. Now the first one, she had same thing. Not the same thing, but they say that she had TB. And I heard about a Mexican that came from Mexico. I think his name was Juarez or something like that. And I asked him when he went in the living room, wash his hands, in the bathroom to wash his hands. I said, "Has he got TB?" He said, "No, there ain't no TB." "Well, the doctor says it's TB." He said, "No, they're kids. They get up high, and sometimes they jump in bed and they fall down and they hit with the shoulder, and a drop of blood gets in the lungs. And it's dead. They don't hurt it for 4 or 5 years, maybe 4 years, 3 years. And it was so, because she fell about 3 years before that. Fell like this and broke her arm and hit with her shoulder. He said, "That's what's the matter with me. Can you cure?" He said, "I could if I'd have got over before it got too bad. Now it's too bad, there ain't no remedy for it."
So they didn't cure?
No, she died.
She died?
Yeah. And my other sister, she died, but I think it was a heart attack because she just fell down. No little old studies. Doctor says they believe me. If that doctor wasn't doing, getting a little better or something with the patient, I'd get another doctor. I had 3 doctors on both of my sisters. My father he died, and I had to take care of him. And that's what had happened with the 2 sisters that died. They didn't have no TB or nothing like that. At first, doctor said for me to tell the doctor that he's the one that might have more TB than that girl. It was just 7 pains that's killing. He said, "Look, you press on one place, you know, and she'll holler. He plays in and press another place, she hollers. About 3 or 4 places he showed me. I'll give her some medicine. If she make it for tomorrow, she'll live." And she did. Felt good. So she lived and married and got a daughter. She's still living in San Antonio. She's a school teacher. She went to college.
When you were a kid, did y'all go shopping a lot in the town? Or
what?
Did y'all just once a week to go, you know, buy clothes or food? Did y'all go into the town, or did y'all?
We live right in town.
Y'all live right in town?
Yeah. Ain't no place to go. It was a little town. After I moved to San Antonio and I got old enough, then I'd get out. Just in town, not outside. I'm 73 years old, and I've never been out of the state of Texas. Never. Well, I was one time to Laredo. It was one time about an hour and a half. I didn't like it. Come back again. And from there on, and the rest of my brothers never was about 15 miles outside of San Antonio. Eight of them. And some of them never was out of San Antonio. They all born and raised in San Antonio. My mother's born at the Alamo. My daddy, I can't remember where he was born. And I believe, I ain't sure, my granddaddy on my mother's side, I believe he was something, a captain or soldier or something on that war. Because what my mother, what was she doing while she was born in the Alamo? Yeah. And she had proof. We used to hurrah, but she had proof that when my younger brother had to go to war, he wanted to go to the war with the army, and my mother had to go sign. And they asked her, where was she born? She said, at the Alamo. You got in there with this? He said, yes, but I don't know where they at. What's the name? Bill May and Joe Dwyer. Oh, Bill May is the county clerk. So when you call him, he had the beard cut out of here. And he wanted to give me my marriage license too. He said, oh yeah, this lady here, she's born at the Alamo, and the rest of her brother is born at the Kelly Field. There's about five, six of them born at the Kelly Field. Those days wasn't no Kelly Field, it was nothing but brush. That's what they told them. The witness said. And then he took me to the judge, put his hand around my neck, and he took me to the judge and so there's this boy here, he's gonna get married. I know his daddy. He's a good man. I don't think there's no better man than him. So he told him. And he had plenty. But I don't know what came of it. He just left everything. Had plenty of pasture. A little town that they named it Potranco. That was my daddy. A thousand a week, I don't know how many thousand, might be 1,000 or something like that, but he said 1,000. Left it, just to Bennett, left everything, and came to San Antonio. And then after a long time, that my daddy had a saloon and a store, one fella came, a friend of his, when he was young. He said, Joe, is that all you got? Told he could talk Spanish. They said, yes, I got 7 lots back over there. He looked at it. You was a fool by leaving everything, all that land you had over there. Just let it go. You was a fool. Said, yeah, but remember that we and my other partners used to rope them early, put your brand on them. And hog put your mark on them, sheep put your mark on them, and you won't catch them, you won't paint them up. Because I only want to be like you. Well, look at me now, he said. I don't have to steal nothing no more. I've got 10,000 acres, plenty of mules, plenty of horses, plenty of cows, plenty of hogs. I was, you know, about 12 years old. No lot older than that. I don't know why my daddy, he never did tell her either, nothing.
He just left it.
Huh?
He just left it?
Just left it.
How come y'all didn't get it? Y'all were too little?
Huh?
How come y'all didn't take over it? Y'all were too little?
My daddy had bought a home here in San Antonio, where we live. But I don't know why he left it. And that was, I didn't want to believe it, but that fella, that county clerk, was the one that told the judge everything. He said, it's a good boy, he comes from good family. And he always had money. And my daddy told me when we passed by this fellow's house, did that big house look like church? I said, yes. The fellow owed me $5. He borrowed $5 from me and forever. Yep, an oil refinery.
Who'd you work for?
Elliot Jones Refinery in San Antonio. And he gave me my foreman. He was a good firefighter. He was from Mexico, a German from Mexico.
A German from Mexico?
Yeah.
How was that?
He is a German, but he didn't come from Mexico. Just like you, you're a Mexican. You go to Germany, or you're Mexican anyway. The same, he's from Mexico, but his blood is German. And so he told me himself. Me, God Almighty. They gave him 10, 12 men to work. By 10 o'clock, just me. He cursed me and I cursed him. Yeah? He cursed me and I cursed him. I can't translate what he told me one time. And he got mad. I couldn't understand what he said. He didn't have no teeth. And he had a pipe. You want to tell me to get the, what you call it, sal de ammoniac? But he didn't say that. Te cagam el muñeco. I just looked at him. Cagam el muñeco! I don't know what you say. Oh, yes. You understand only your mula. I mean, you sound like a mula, no? That's what I don't want to understand. I said, I don't. He took his pipe out of his mouth. He sal de ammoniac. Well, that's different. Now I know what you said. I'll go get it.
What is it?
Huh?
What is sal de ammoniac?
It's some kind of salt that they used to solder. You would make in an elbow. Then we went out to put a pipe, 6-inch pipe, about 10, 12 feet high. I weighed 117 pounds. And you know, in German, you weighed about 170, 180. Get the ladder and get up there and give that pipe a turn. The pipe, I think it weighs about 40 pounds. So I went up with the pipe, with a wrench in mine, I put it on the pipe, and I pull on. My weight wasn't enough to pull or turn that pipe, because it's tight, but it just needs a little bit more. And he started hollering at me and cursing at me. So I got down, I took that 38 Stilson, started to drop it on his head, but he moved. Because General Foreman to whip the hell out of him. You won't lose. I said, I don't want to do it because I don't want to lose my job. So you won't lose your job. I know he's mean. And he got up there and turned it. But he was heavier and stronger than me. But he was a good pipe fitter. He was a good one. What I learned, after he quit, I took his place. It was a pipe that every time they run that hot oil to the tank, that pipe just go like this. Sometimes it breaks. And when it breaks, you have to be quick to fix it. So I seen it broken. And I told the foreman, said, can you fix this? I said, yeah. Well, go get you some men. How many do you want? I want just three men. I said, I've got three men. He already told me, you know, before he left Lowe's, what was wrong with it. He said, fool, I don't know, they got to put a swing on there. So when the pipe moves, that swing will move too. They don't bend it. So I went and done just like he said. Stood for him. I had a 6-7 men working under me. I still was getting 22 cents an hour. going to 2.5 cents an hour. That's what I was getting, and I was foreman. And the other fellas getting 35, the white fellas, 35 cents. After I told them, former, said, by God, I'm doing the same kind of work, but this fella's doing, why I only get 1 or 2.5 cents an hour? They raised me 30 cents.
30 cents?
Yeah. And then it didn't last very long, they had to close down. Another time they had a pipe.